Dark wings.
Dork words.
A Game of Thrones podcast.
Episode 11, the season 1 wrap up.
All right, welcome everyone to episode 11. I am your host, Chuck Davis, and with me this week, as always, is...
Brendan J.D. Riley.
Molly Welsh.
And Eric Solonis.
Okay, so this is our first episode where we're going to keep talking, even though there's no new episodes to talk about. We have some ideas of different themes and shows that we're going to do in the interim between now and spring of 2012. some that'll be tangentially related to Game of Thrones... we will at least, I guess I can just say we're going to shoot for doing about one a month, I guess, between now and the spring. And we'll at least have updates, you know, repeating stuff probably that you can find on the internet. But we'll do all the heavy lifting for you. And for instance, next time around, we should have an update on the Game of Thrones panel that will be held at the San Diego Comic-Con. And this coming Tuesday, A Dance with Dragons comes out, and we'll have at least some feedback about that. And George Martin has already started dropping casting hints and or spoilers or whatever tidbits on his blog about season 2. So there should be plenty of stuff to talk about each week, even if the theme of the episode is not necessarily Game of Thrones related.
It'll be nerd related, which will be great.
Exactly.
That's the whole point.
But this episode is, we're just going to kind of reflect back on season 1 as a whole, remembering things that we liked, things we didn't like, and go from there. So my first reflection is, you know, I thought about... rewatching some episodes to prepare for this podcast, so I'd have some details fresh in my mind and stuff. And I found that I wasn't really that excited to go back and rewatch anything. Maybe because it is fairly fresh, I just got done watching it. I don't know. I'm traditionally a person that doesn't rewatch or reread stuff anyway, which is one of the reasons I'm so excited about this series of books, is because it's so dense and there's so much detail. I was compelled to go back and reread stuff. But I don't necessarily feel that the HBO episodes are so dense and fascinating that I need to watch them over again.
Yeah, we kind of pick them apart anyway each week. So
that's true.
We've got at least four people looking at every show.
Yeah, we're already overanalyzing it more than the average viewer should or would.
And didn't you normally watch both or each episode twice a week?
Some of them I only saw once. Some of them I rewatched with Allison later in the week.
Yeah.
She actually still hasn't watched the last three.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So.
I watched episode 9 twice. That was the only one that I watched twice. And that was the one that, you know, started with Ned and the breathing, and it ended with Ned and the breathing, and it was very...
Right.
I didn't really see it as a big picture until I watched it again. So I do sort of want to go back and watch it again, but...
You feel like there are some little things to pick up on that you wouldn't have
first
time around?
I was so very much like, get the episode over with so I can see what they left out. and you know, what did they catch and what did they miss and what is their twists? Because there were some definite twists on what we all thought. You know, Renly and Cersei, I think, being a big... Those are the big, blatant,
right,
bold choices that they made, but...
I think I would like to go back and watch the whole series without being as analytical as normal as we normally are, you know, having to sit down and take notes and everything, but to go back and just enjoy it the whole way through.
Right.
And I had hoped that they'd, you know, they'd put it on Hulu or something, because I don't personally have HBO.
Well, there's that HBO Go thing
going on. Costs money, right?
Well, see,
I don't have.
When we were watching, that's I know you guys were all taking notes the whole time, and that's actually part of the reason why I didn't, is because honestly, the way that I analyze stuff is I have to just watch it to enjoy it first before I can start picking it apart.
And that's what's different. Like when I started watching Battlestar Galactica, I would text Eric all the damn time, because I'd just be like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And it's really nice to be able to sit down and watch a whole series, you know, since it's on Netflix, you can watch it whenever you want,
right.
or on a DVD. And so that, I think that would be really cool if I could sit down in one afternoon or whatever and watch all 10 episodes.
Right, right.
I like, the next day I had to go back, and it was a few days later, and I had to go back and, like, find a clip of just the final scene with Daenerys and the dragons, and I rewatched that, actually, and I showed it to my friend. I have this friend online who's she's a comic book artist, actually, and she's never read the series, but I've been telling her all about it because she's like my confidant that I like tell everything to that I'm reading, and she doesn't care. She likes spoilers. She doesn't mind. And so I've been telling her about this series, and so even though she's never read it, she knows like half the stuff about it. And so finally I showed her that clip, and she was just like instantly, she saw that, I think her exact words, when she draws, she's very drawn to the feminine form, actually. Her exact words were, "White braids and tits and baby dragons, I'm in love."
So... what I think has been great about this this whole show, or this whole series, is how much more of a cultural phenomenon it's become. I hadn't even heard of A Song of Ice and Fire until Molly handed me the Game of Thrones book.
Happy birthday! I think 10 of my friends got Game of Thrones for their birthdays. In the past 2 years, that's
perfect.
All I've given people.
Yeah,
was the
but
first
that's awesome.
And so many people have been talking about it, people that I wouldn't expect to have known about it or watched it, and they're like, "Have you seen Game of Thrones?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do a podcast."
Yeah,
they referenced it on Game of Thrones on Wait, Don't Tell Me one time, and I was like, "Yeah,
really?"
They did something about because they had a question about heads getting cut off.
Horses' heads getting cut off.
No, people's heads getting cut off because they were talking about an old Aztec sport. And people's heads getting cut off, and they're like, "This makes Game of Thrones look like a day in the park," or something like that. I was like, "There you go, nice reference." So it's just really interesting how it's made it, you know, open up the world to a lot more people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, this is lame and selfish, but I bet a lot of people have this happen to them too. That I have a degree in theater, and my parents are not theatrical people. They don't they enjoy theater, but I make them go, you know, and they've never really been into the sci-fi stuff as much as me, and they don't really understand why I like it, and I'll make them watch these movies, and then I pay for it the whole time, you know what I mean? They're just like, ugh. But with this show, you know, I've been talking to them, and I bought my mom the book, and she totally hasn't read it, but my dad kind of picked it up and was into it, and as we all know, my dad is totally into this show, and it's one of the first shows, other than, like, I don't know, when I was 10 and Dallas was on, that I've been able, and I'm serious, we would watch it every Friday night. This is one of the first TV shows that I've been able to, like, have lengthy conversations with my parents about, and that's cool.
That was a unique new thing. You know, you guys are always like that about whatever's going on.
We're like that about some things, but never as lengthy or as... My dad and I sometimes watch the pageants together, and I'm like, "All right, this will be entertaining."
But nothing in your fantasy sci-fi interest.
No.
Yeah. No.
Nothing that I ever want to watch anyway. No. So this has been very cool for that.
Well, your dad's point of view is really makes me happy because, you know, at least for our podcast, he's the only one who doesn't have any knowledge of the books whatsoever, and I was just really hoping that this show would generate that same, you know, excitement or, you know, anticipation,
right.
and just love of the characters and fascination with the world and all that stuff that I wasn't, you know, you easily could produce a show that doesn't capture the magic of the books like
yeah.
that, so.
I can easily say, though, that the books are tremendously better than the TV show. We wouldn't like the TV. We wouldn't do this if it wasn't for the books. So.
No, probably wouldn't have. I probably would have heard about the show, but not as
right.
wanted to watch it or
right.
even sat down and done a podcast about it had I not.
But
right.
the sad part
the
of that
one.
Is that it's making the people who really like the TV show not want to read the books because they're getting, you know, like my father was like, "Why do I need to read this book? There's a TV show." And
there's so much more.
I know.
Well,
and that's
but
the
those
part.
People would never have read the books anyway. I mean, you either like reading books or you don't.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Yeah, I know what you mean. But this is a guy who, you know, he's read all the Lord of the Rings book. He, when he was a younger man, and he
sure.
likes the genre, but but he's satisfied with what the show has to offer, and I'm just like, don't you understand? There's so much stuff that you don't know, and want you to know about.
A Game of Thrones is topping like all of the fiction, the mass market paperback,
mm-hmm.
and the trade paperback, and the ebooks. It's topping all the charts. George R. R. Martin posted something about it a week or so ago, that in 1996, when A Game of Thrones came out, I think the highest ever got was like 28 on the New York Times bestseller list. Or,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't a bestseller at all.
Yeah, right.
It barely, you know, made a dent, but just the word of mouth over 15 years has just been cumulative and awesome.
Well, I just went to the library because I can't remember when I finished. I think it was after the season wrapped up that I finished the second book, A Clash of Kings. And I went to the library recently going to look for A Storm of Swords. I couldn't remember which one it was.
Did they even have it? I mean,
no, that's
what
I'm saying is I put A Storm of Swords on my list, and I'm like in Q5. I looked at all the other one. All the other, even Game of Thrones and Clash of Kings and everything. Everything's all checked out. And even the ebooks, because you can download ebooks from Omaha Public Library, and they only have a certain amount of digital copies that they can loan out. And even that, I'm like third in line on the waiting list and still haven't gotten it yet. So it's like people are devouring them now. Maybe they were before, but it just...
No, when
awesome.
I was reading the first book, I was at the library for something, and I looked up every single one of them, and none of them were there, and it was like waitlist, all of them.
Yeah.
My friend Denver's wife, Sarah, really got into the show watching it with him, and so she picked up the second book, and she just got done reading A Feast for Crows and started rereading it. So she devoured all the books, but she didn't read the first one because she watched it on TV.
That's funny.
But she missed all the brand stuff? Like
she
all
missed
the
all kinds
stuff
of great stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
She needs
to. Yeah.
Need
I mean,
to go back.
That's interesting.
She's rereading book four and still hasn't read book one.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Does she listen to the podcast? Read book one.
Read it.
We're telling you.
You missed all sorts of brand stuff.
Hello, this is George R. R. Martin. I don't know how he sounds.
Read the first book. I don't know. He's a big dude with a beard.
George!
Oh my god, he's here!
Hello, I've come bearing gifts.
You're gonna go to hell.
I don't know.
Fantasy
hell. How he said fantasy
hell.
We're a bad impersonation.
Okay, I went to, I've been working on the Nebraska Shakespeare Festival shows, and I went to a brunch this morning with everyone, and Michael Lewis, the guy who plays Claudius in Hamlet and Bottom in Midsummer, his girlfriend Kate was there, and I'd never met her before, and we were talking, and I remember Michael saying that he had pre-ordered this book for his girlfriend, and she was going to be super happy, and, you know, she's there, and I'm like, so, where are you going to be on Tuesday? I've never met this woman. She has no idea who I am. She's like, Tuesday. It comes out, and, oh my god, it's Tuesday, and I'm like, yeah, and she knew exactly what I was talking about. And she's like, I pre-ordered it months ago, and yes, honey, you were trying to be nice, but I pre-ordered it months ago. Don't need you to help me with this. This is something that, you know, and we're talking about it, and I sit down, and we're totally nerding out, and this woman, she's fingers crossed, table, leaning over, like, what did you think of the series? And I'm like, I thought they did a good job, and she's like, me too, but glaring mistakes, glaring. Like, what, tell me. What was your biggest glare? And she's like, Renly. I said, What do you mean? What does that mean? And she's like, well, he was horribly miscast. Horribly miscast. And I guess when you read the books, yes, there's some evidence that he's a homosexual and that he has a thing, but it's not as like glaring as it was. And Renly should be this hunky, beautiful, more beautiful than anyone else, be able to lead nations of men with just his face, and horribly miscast. And I was like,
she's got a point.
I was gonna go with the direwolves. And she's like, and she sort of, you know, perked up and was like, I know! And wasn't the mom direwolf that was dead, wasn't that huge? What happened? They're not supposed to be. And Michael was like, I'm gonna go over here and talk to this other person. And he left us at the table for like 20 minutes. We just nerded out about the show. And
beautiful.
It was interesting to hear that, like, the casting stuff. And we talked about Cersei, and she was like, that woman is not supposed to be sympathetic. And where did this made-up child that died came from? And where did the makeup, I loved Robert once. No, she didn't. What is that? And
sounds
I was
like
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kate. Okay, ladies of America, I I stand by my Cersei thing. Like, I was broken down a little bit from everybody that was on this podcast about how human she's supposed to be and whatever.
Well, what was interesting about all that though was like you, me, and Greg when he was here were like having this like three way, and we were trying to figure out like our viewpoints, but then like he was disagreeing with you, but then he was like looking at me, and I was like, no, I don't disagree with you though, and I don't disagree with her, and I don't agree with you, and I don't agree with her. Is like we had like three completely different viewpoints,
and that's good.
Yeah,
like I've always liked that we're able to have that here. This is a safe place. It was just nice that this other woman was like, no,
yeah,
that's bullshit, you know, and I was like, you're right, it is. And I don't mean older, like, she was an old woman. I mean, like, if she listens to this, I don't want her to be offended.
Congratulations.
No. Kate is a beautiful woman, beautiful lady, and I've offended someone that I just met again.
Right? So she's not old enough to go,
the king.
No. Nope, she and Pysel would not be on
the
same.
Well, apparently Pysel likes younger ladies anyway.
It's hard to think of Pysel now without his little sheer shift thing while he's doing his post-coital stretches.
No, I am excited, like, looking ahead, I am excited for more of the fantastical. Like, I don't know if that's what we're going to get. But like,
well,
we've been saying,
yeah, they've definitely broken the seal on that with the
dragons. CG
yeah.
dragons, but like I've been saying since day one, I miss the white hair, silver or
violet eyes.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And Kate and I were saying, you know, Tyrion, we would totally. I wouldn't. This isn't true. We would totally do Peter Dinklage, and he's not supposed to be doable. Tyrion is supposed to be. I did not say that for real. This is something that when you read about, like, you first know him in a John chapter. Shock of hair, so blonde it's white, misshapen eyes. His
talk
brow hangs over
yeah.
his face, and he's ugly and misshapen
right.
and
he's
and
supposed
drawn
to be much, much more horrible.
Google
than
yeah. Google Tyrion fan art, and you'll see
for real.
Exactly what
it's
so supposed
it's,
to be.
It's that stuff, like, overall, looking back and looking forward, I miss the fantastical. I miss, like, Jaime and Cersei should have golden locks, so golden it's like money is coming out of their head, gold. Like, it shouldn't be dirty blonde, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They
could have
at least given
him,
like, the mismatched eyes.
Yeah, that would have been
and
easy.
And the shock of the white hair.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They just made a conscious choice. Maybe just they didn't want to mess with the makeup.
I think too, it was another thing where maybe they were toning that element, that very much is sort of a fantasy element, and maybe they're toning that down to make, once again, make it an HBO more accessible
right.
type of show.
Yeah,
so
I guess so.
I mean, I'm just theorizing.
Yeah.
No, you might be right about
well,
that.
Well, in Hollywood,
you're
I
you're in their pocket, aren't you?
Yes.
Speaking of that, they cast a woman as Brienne, who happens to be 6'3". And she's
nice.
Beautiful. Like, she has an interesting face where it's not completely symmetrical, and it, and but she's a beautiful girl. So I'm wondering, like, we all know what Brienne is supposed to look like, but then again, we all thought we knew what Tyrion was supposed
right,
to look
right.
like. So how are they going to fit
well, as long
this
as she
beautiful
looks
woman?
Rather mannish.
But it's supposed to be a joke, not only, like, a joke to anyone who's ever met her. Like, she's outcast because of the way she looks. Even though she's like an heir to the land, you know.
I don't think she's supposed to be butt ugly necessarily.
I think it's her
bearing. I mean, if she's just dirty and she dresses like a man and she doesn't have any,
I remember Caitlin
feminine wiles
was
or
talking
whatever
about it a lot. It was usually in and that's usually where we saw her. It was in Catelyn's chapter, and it was Catelyn saying how ugly she was, and then maybe that's just her opinion.
Yeah,
but. I looked her up, and a lot of her roles, you can find a lot of pictures of some other roles that she's done, and she is
this
not
actress?
Afraid. Yeah, the actress. She's
okay.
not afraid to go to that kind of ugly
yeah.
face role. It seems so.
I was reading,
you know,
something
it'd
about
be interesting.
Some article about how Charlize Theron wore the mouthpiece and looked
in
all different
monster.
From Monster, and how they thought that this would be the perfect opportunity to do something like that with this beautiful girl.
Yeah.
So. Hopefully they'll continue to move forward with the fantastical stuff and not pull back, because to me they pulled back too much. And
My feeling is that we're going to be disappointed in that department still. I don't think their season two budget is any bigger than season one.
Well, but at the same time, there's certain elements that can help it. Like, I mean, I think the presence, for instance, of Melisandre will really bring an eerie effect to everything, because she always creeps me. Well, I hope so.
I hope they don't just make her like a medium or something. You know, yeah. I hope that it's like that woman can birth a shadow baby to kill your fucking kingdom.
She has to freak you out. She can't just be pretty.
The flaming hair, not just she's a redhead. Like,
she's gonna be just a
flaming hair with the eyes. Does she have red eyes?
Yeah,
she's got red eyes.
I'm wondering if they're gonna cut that because they cut the violet eyes.
Don't they have to cut stuff like that now that they've made a decision to not?
If they've opted to for main characters, I don't see why they wouldn't for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But unless they change it, all of a sudden Tyrion will show up in season two with two different color eyes.
Right.
The one thing about Melisandre though is she is supposed to be like from the most exotic other end of the world place. And
right.
So,
cause she's from
Ashai.
Ashai.
Yeah. And so they can maybe they can at least give her a very striking sort of exotic look to her somehow with her robes or something, you know.
Yeah.
So.
But they've been inconsistent with that. I mean, Shay so far is the most sort of
exotic
foreign.
What accent is that?
Character.
Foreign.
it's a foreign one.
Oh,
and she's not. Yeah, she's
not.
Not
from here.
There's no excuse for making her sound foreign.
There's just no excuse for the way they're doing her anyway.
Sorry. He said doing.
I do know a couple people who watched the show and read the books that liked her, actually.
Yeah.
Really?
Fuck them. No, just kidding.
Yeah, where do they live?
Are they doing a podcast?
I will go home and tell Eric that you said that about them. Yes.
Oh, no.
Guess what? No.
I love you, other Eric.
Oh, my God. Okay, so who is doing what for the book? Did anybody pre-order it? Are you going to a store? What's going on with the new book?
I'm,
not you, because you're not even there yet.
I'm going
to
be...
Not you, Brendan.
That's right. You're not ready yet.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be out of town until Friday.
Right.
I'm hoping I can pick it up, like, in the airport bookstore on Friday and read it.
There are bookstores where
back.
You're going.
But I have other stuff to do in Las Vegas.
Oh, come on.
Days. I'm not just going to hunker down in my room and
no,
start
I know,
reading
but you
the
can
book.
Go get it, can't you? Or you just
but
gonna
I won't.
Stay
I won't
away?
Have an hour, I won't want to read it until I'm on the plane coming back.
Okay.
So.
I usually don't pre-order. I just seriously like go and see if I can find it. I can usually find it pretty fast. You know, even if it's like sold out on the first day or something,
yeah.
I can usually find it somewhere, and I just kind of play it by ear. But yeah, I definitely plan on like getting it as soon as I can and start reading. So.
I saw a commercial the other day, and I was like, they're doing this because of Game of Thrones, but then it wasn't mentioned. Where it's like, you know, there's a guy and he's holding his Kindle. And there's a girl walking by, and he's like, where are you going? And she's like, to a bookstore. This book is coming out today. I want to go get it. And he's like, I have it. Look, it's on my Kindle. And she's like, oh, let me see it. And then she doesn't give it back to him. And he's like, and she's like, shh, be quiet. Like, I'm reading this. And I want that to happen to me on Tuesday.
Someone to hand you a Kindle.
Somebody to hand you. You just want somebody to be like, I got it on Kindle, lady. I don't know you. I'm going to take this.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
That's my plan on Tuesday.
I think the Kindle is cool and all, but I am that type of person who I just like the whole tactile thing with books, and I just have to have the book. I'm just that person.
I felt that way, and then I think about a Kindle and how it can fit in my purse and how I can get any book I want on
there's
it at any time.
What's the one that has free Wi-Fi all the time as well? Is that the Kindle or is that the Nook? One of them has like free Wi-Fi all the time.
See, but that would be awesome. Like, I think if
depends
I had an iPad,
buy.
That's
which
what
model?
I would want it
yeah.
for.
Yeah.
You can get the most expensive Kindle and it's got 3G connectivity like a cell phone.
Right.
So maybe an iPad will fall out of the sky on Tuesday and land on my desk. But otherwise, I just have to go to work like any normal Tuesday. And depending on who is available, I would like to visit a bookstore and
I can,
look at all the nerds and point and laugh at them in the mirror. So,
in the mirror.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. In the mirror.
Even though you got to wonder if we're the ones doing the podcast aren't we the nerdier ones
no.
there?
Do you think
we're professional nerds, man? Well, semi-professional because
yeah.
this isn't paid for. But.
No, I did.
It's
see.
Our listeners are the pathetic nerds.
Yeah,
we're just beating up them.
Oh my God.
As we push our own glasses up our noses and roll our D20s.
Do you think there's going to be like a lining up thing happening in places? Midnight sales or
I kind of had this vision of like all of us who have done the podcast like lining up at midnight in costume to get the book and we're the only one.
Yeah, the only ones there.
Everybody else is like, I mean, I watched the movie or I watched the TV series and you know the books are cool, but I'm not gonna go until I get off work.
They've done it for Harry Potter books. Right. Which is actually the only books I've ever heard of that phenomenon.
Yeah.
Apart from like Star Wars movie tickets before everyone realized that was a horrible waste of time.
I was there. God, that was stupid. But
I mean, it's fun in the sense that you're hanging around with a bunch of like-minded fools.
You know, I'm surprised that there are a couple comic book stores in Omaha, Krypton being the largest and Legend being the coolest, in my opinion, that I'm surprised that
they could easily stock this book.
Totally. And I'm surprised they haven't created something on Facebook that's like, hey, nerds, come get the book on Tuesday. Because they usually get shipments on Wednesday. I know, I get that. But
I remember like going way back to the high school days of being like a comic book collector. And like, you know, every city has so many different comic book stores. And I think they sort of, And even later when I worked at Homer's, music CD store, back before all those like little mom and pop chains got sort of shut down by the big chain stores, so the independent shop sellers would sort of have a gentleman's agreement amongst themselves, like, okay, like we all sell comic books, but we're gonna do the D&D stuff, and you do more back issues, or whatever, or you know, like, yeah, I'm gonna open up a new branch of my store, but don't open it too close to my store, kind of a thing.
Right.
I know, like, Homer's and Twister's, which started in Lincoln, sort of had a thing like that, where Twister's sort of broke the agreement and opened his store at the outlet mall halfway between Lincoln and Omaha, and then Homer's retaliated by buying Twister's out completely, shutting down all their stores. But I think that's the case among the comic book stores, that they have They sort of have, like, one appeals more to gamers, one appeals more to collectors.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think, like, Legend Comics, for instance, is very much the comic book aficionado store.
Yeah.
Where you walk in there, you...
Graphic novels galore.
And he'll talk your ear off about...
Love that guy.
He just loves comics, and he'll tell you, oh, what's your favorite comic? Oh, okay, well, did you know the writer of that comic also did this comic, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But the one that's close to my house, I'll walk in there and more people are buying
Dragon's
it.
Lair or?
I like Dragon's Lair.
I live by Ground Zero.
Ground Zero, okay.
Yeah. Ground Zero is very much about gamers and D&D and Magic the Gathering and stuff like that.
Isn't Dragon's Lair too?
Dragon's Lair is more game, especially the one that's on 84th and Blonde.
Yeah.
The one that's out west.
There's like
a
room in the back, and there's always nerds in the room playing something.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's good. That's great stuff. So I don't know. I don't know that they really care that much. I think they just have the same kind of stuff that they routinely stock, and to branch out into hardbound fiction. I don't know.
Because I've seen the novels in Legend before, because they have, right when you walk in,
they do.
There's a rack that just has World War Z and like Game of Thrones has been on the rack and like books like that.
Maybe he's the maverick that'll do that. So anyway. I still think you'll probably... There's nothing wrong with buying the book in a bookstore.
I know.
She wants an iPad to drop out of
I
the store.
I do. Right. I want... First, let's have the Hawkeye with the Kindle, and then I can decide if that's for me. And then the iPad, and then if not, I would like to go to Three Happiness and have peanut butter chicken and buy the book at Legend Comics right next door. Mm-hmm. Perfect!
That's
I don't have a plan at all. Short story.
One of our listeners, Chris Voorhees, has a Kindle, and he posted somewhere that he's got it pre-ordered and ready to download the instant it's available.
I wonder if that happens at like midnight, you just get it, you know? Or if it like there's a little alarm when it's like, this book is now on your Kindle.
I'm quite sure of it. Oh, George R.R. Martin posted, there was a bit of a scandal where some bookstores in Germany started absentmindedly shipping the book. They shipped like
130 or something. That's what I heard.
I wanted to say like 300, but it's in the 100 to 300 range.
Huh.
Pre-ordered people got their copies like 2 weeks in advance of when they were.
Oh shit!
And I heard that all of them got either a phone call or an email that was like, "This was a mistake. please don't leak any of these things on the internet. Please, please understand that, like, this was a mistake and that, yes, you got it early, but you need to be respectful of the rest of the world and not post anything. So they're, like, watching the internet like hawks right now for spoilers and for
which,
people.
Thankfully, I haven't been digging too deep. I haven't stumbled across any real spoilers. Somebody posted something to the effect of, these are all the point of view
characters. I did that.
Sorry. Okay, but George R. R. Martin also said that some of the spoilers that have leaked are not accurate. So.
Huh.
Right, he can say that, and you know.
Sure, just plant the seed of doubt, I guess,
right.
If nothing else. We have an ongoing problem here, which we've had from the beginning of the podcast, is that we're not all on the same page as far as having read the book. Not to put any pressure on you, but especially when this next book is out, I mean, we're going to be dying to talk about it. And we're gonna have to suppress.
You don't get to sleep.
That somewhat.
I'm already,
Brandon.
And because I couldn't get the book at the library, I'm already reading a different book. So.
But you, right? Okay, so you've read the first two.
Got the first two down, and
entirely.
Eric just got me a Storm of Swords.
Yeah. Okay.
So when you get to like the last two chapters, like text me, and I'll just drive to your house. So
and
like, drop
the
fourth book. Can read now. If I don't sleep tonight. Or tomorrow, I might, maybe, possibly be able to get halfway through there.
You can put the audiobooks on your iPod.
That's right.
On my computer.
Yes. Molly and I will be having all kinds of cryptic conversations while Brendan's here. We'll be like, you know the thing, yeah, the thing with the hat.
The thing that you should be doing
like,
right now. Go sit in the corner and read your book.
Brendan can't record the podcast today because he's reading the damn books!
In the corner.
Well, I remember we did have a cryptic conversation once where I was like, the scene with
the
person
red.
In the hood.
No, we were talking
like,
about the red thing. The red thing that happens with the people.
Well, that too. But then we were
well, somebody already
about...
told me about the red wedding between Tyrion and Sansa. So,
is that me?
I don't know. Somebody
no, the
said
red
it.
Wedding wasn't...
You're confused or something,
but,
so you don't.
Oh, okay.
So you don't know.
Sorry.
So I've
sorry.
Heard of that,
yes.
And I've heard of that. Those two things. Don't know what they are. Hey, we'll find out.
So you
yes.
don't know anything. No, that's a good thing.
That's a very
right
good
now.
Thing.
Yes.
I'm picking it up. Okay, here we go.
Storm of Swords.
Chapter one. It's pretty amazing. I think that fans they don't want to spoil readers. You really don't want to give away some of the cool stuff.
Dogs would not take the scent.
Okay, stop it. When I was talking to Kate. I asked her, like, hey, what's your theory on, you know, who John's parents are?
Did she have the same one?
She sort of did. She was like, I don't understand how all those could be, because then Ned wouldn't be his dad. I'm like, yeah,
that's the
what I mean. Yeah. Well, because she's like, I really, for a long time, thought that Ned was his dad, and we just didn't know who his mom was, because he, like, was cryptic, and he said her name
right.
once, and
yeah.
blah. And then he's like, or he, Kate said, I do think that Benjen Stark is Cold Hands, because that makes sense. And
right, but I wonder how. I think we'll find that out in this book for sure. In
yeah,
the last book. Yeah,
I think so. Because doesn't this book, Dance with Dragons, is exactly the same as the last book?
Time wise.
So
at least for a large portion.
For
of
a large
it.
Portion.
Yeah,
okay.
And then it goes beyond.
Because what I like about that is that I have not read the books for a long time. I've read one book, and I don't even remember. And I don't remember the order. Of how things happen. I don't remember which book they happen in. You know, I know what I know, but I don't remember, like, oh, this happened in this Arya chapter in the third book. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to reading this book that's happening at the same time as other things so that it can catch me up with, like, this is what you just read and get their perspectives on what
Arya
happened.
In particular, it's hard to put together what happens when for her because she's just, like, wandering around in circles in the Riverlands for... like three and
well,
a half bucks
there is a
yeah,
yeah there's this whole section where like it was she like goes like she gets like you know kidnapped by one person after another and there was
yeah.
a point where like finally like it happened again I was like come on you know
right.
like,
see with her I remember a lot of it because I mean her path is pretty clear it's Winterfell
yeah.
King's Landing Harrenhal and then wherever the hell she is but other things that happen and when like I was talking about Cersei you might want to close your ears Brendan and I was like when she turned and fled that whole part. I was like, no way. And then Kate's like, but wait, isn't she in the temple? And I was like, oh my god, you're right. Like, I forgot that she'd been there for a little while.
Mm.
See, that didn't really give anything away. You can come back now, Brendan. But it's stuff like that where I remember what happened. I remember
right.
where they are now, but I don't remember the order and who
how they all
and,
got there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a little confusing going back.
I wonder if he's going to give us, because it's been a long time, I wonder if he's going to give us that, like, hello, gentle reader, previously.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Hey there, true believers.
You think he's just going to...
Previously in A Song of Ice and Fire, see books 1-4.
Yeah.
Reread these.
But he does, like, he did do the little epilogue, not epilogue, the afterwards.
He did, and he's written since that he regrets having written that because he was predicting
okay.
or setting, framing things that eventually ended up changing. Because this, even though he had envisioned A Dance with Dragons as a companion piece of sorts of, to be completely parallel, like split the characters in half, and then for one time period, Feast for Crows chose one and A Dance with Dragons chose the other. But, and that's apparently that's part of what he's been struggling with for 6 years,
huh.
was to stick to that, but then also get all the characters timeline wise to where he needs them all to be before he can move forward. And so I think there's a period of time where this next book is gonna be the parallel to A Feast for Crows, and then it opens it up to all the characters again to start moving forward.
Okay.
Which is awesome, because so that means that some of the A Feast for Crows characters will also show up in this book.
Good.
And, I mean, the biggest, most important piece of news, I think, is he's said that he won't introduce any new characters. This is the last book that he introduced new characters
yeah.
in. Because
oh, I didn't know that.
I'm fairly sure that's what he said.
So book 6 and 7 are not, no new.
Book 7's might have 60 different points of view.
Right?
Yeah, no, he's got enough characters across a wide spectrum of different plot threads,
yeah.
and from this point they'll just start killing them off to narrow things down
nice.
For us.
Every character has one page for a chapter.
Right? Oh my god. And I did see a bit of casting news that it was sort of casting news, and then they took it back, that there was a guy who was going to play Davos's son, and there was like a specific name.
Oh yeah.
And then they took it back, and they're like, no, he's not actually playing that person, ha ha ha, we'll tell you later what he's playing. It was very awkward, the little article that I read.
Interesting.
And I remember that Davos has like 7 or 8 kids, and then...
Mm-hmm.
and
he has at least 3 sons were captaining ships of their own in the
yeah.
Battle of the Blackwater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I read something that George R. R. Martin, he wrote the episode for Battle of the Blackwater, and then he like sent off the first draft, and he said something like... yeah, they're not going to like the first draft because it's a first draft. And it's way too long and self-indulgent and way
yeah.
too expensive. So we'll see what they say. Ha ha.
We do a real gladiator style battle.
He
wants real
right?
wildfire
everywhere. Yeah. yeah, like how are they going to do that stuff next
CGI.
Season?
CGI.
They'll just knock Tyrion out again.
Exactly.
Didn't somebody write that? And like, don't tell me they're just going to knock Tyrion. Like somebody, all of George R. R. Martin's comments after he writes his blogs on Facebook, more than half of them are like snotty people who are like, hurry up, or what, are you gonna knock Tyrion out again and we'll just wake up afterwards? Is that saving money
well,
enough?
Well, I hope they don't, because seriously, I want to see him fight at least once.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, exactly. I want to see like POV to the point of
Through the narrow slit. That's exactly
where,
how I pictured it. I mean,
yeah.
he writes like that.
And
Tyrion
grows a lot in the second
oh,
book,
yeah.
and so
yeah.
so I think they can get you know they can get away with that sort of thing in that first battle of the season because he's still kind of in just survival mode at that point.
Yeah.
But by
yeah.
this end of the second book, he really, I mean, he is the person that like ends up you know his command is what saves the city basically, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the king.
As much as I hate everything that Joffrey does, I really want to see him throw those dead bodies off the catapults
oh.
in that battle
because yeah.
that was hilarious. The description of them falling on a ship was really funny.
That's fucked up.
So there's that's a good example of some character development
mm-hmm.
that's been sort of offloaded to season 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole relationship between Sansa and the Hound has been offloaded
mm-hmm.
to season
mm-hmm.
2.
Yeah.
Which maybe actually I think was a good creative decision because it would have overcomplicated things a little
yeah,
bit
yeah.
in season
Seeing
1.
Where they've gone with it thus far.
Right.
Even,
and there
yeah.
is so much time of Sansa just sort of being captive in the Red Keep.
Yeah.
In book two, there's plenty of opportunity to develop that subplot there.
I mean, she kind of is a big perspective in the second book, as far as we see a lot of things happen in that scenario.
I think they can ramp up, you know, just with a couple of scenes and a couple of episodes,
mm-hmm.
and get Sansa and the Hound to where they need to be before one or the other of them leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're ever going to do anything with Bran's dreams?
I hope so. I really don't think they will, besides what we've already seen.
I
don't know.
Well, Bran's dreams aren't really the issue so much from this point forward.
That's
it's
true.
More sort of him exploring his extrasensory perception.
Right,
maybe
George R.R. Martin will go somewhere with
fog stickers.
Come full circle back to that somewhere in the later books, though. I mean, maybe he'll...
Jojen Reed is the one that has the juicy dreams.
Yep.
The green dreams.
Yeah. And his sister... Mira, right.
Yeah. I saw a thing about how they changed Asha's name to...
What?
Yara?
To Yara, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
what?
I saw that,
they did?
Too.
In they're going to in season two, she's going to be Yara Greyjoy instead of Asha.
I wonder why they're doing
Well, maybe because
that.
They're pronouncing... Aren't they pronouncing... Asha, the wildling, is
Osha.
Osha.
They're pronouncing
maybe.
It Osha? I can't remember, but maybe that's
why. Yeah, maybe that's why.
Osha and Asha.
Well, as long as they have the name isn't.
Yeah,
I guess as long as they still have her as a character, and
I just
she's awesome. I think.
Yeah, no, they still have her as a character. I just think, you know, them making the choice Asha is too confusing with Osha, that sort of thing. I'm just like, come on. I get it, but at the same time, I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what. If you keep doing that to people, eventually, you know, I'm a firm believer that if you make people pay attention, they will eventually start paying attention.
Yeah.
It's even possible to have two characters with the same name in the same story have it work.
No way.
But I was confused. I was thinking, did they think Asha was too close to Arya? And then I was like, well, Yara's closer to Arya.
Yeah.
Oh, now they're going to change it again after listening to our podcast.
Yeah,
because
they
do.
Yara
totally
is too close to Arya.
We have to have a Ygritte in season two as well, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that'll be good.
And Halfhand.
Casting.
I loved all that stuff with Jon, like,
mm-hmm.
like
no, absolutely. Absolutely. That was such an awesome part of his character development.
And we have to have a Mance. I saw somebody posted their like dream casting for season two, and Brendan Gleeson was Mance, I think. And
ooh.
I was like, wasn't that? Maybe it wasn't.
Ooh.
But Brendan, I think Brendan.
He's a little old, though.
He's
yeah.
totally a little old.
See
he's
Mance
brilliant.
Yeah, we don't actually see Mance until book three.
Mm-mm.
He
yeah.
Because book two is, yeah, is like where
it's
starting
the
to
bone
get towards
yeah.
that.
The,
yeah.
the
and
battle shirt.
There was a
yeah.
Davos.
Yeah.
Casting.
So you haven't seen Mance yet.
I haven't seen him.
Because you've just
heard
finished.
A lot about him.
Yeah.
Heard about
okay.
Ygritte told John about that story that you mentioned about the dude that went in and left the flower and.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, because it's towards the end of book two that he like lets Ygritte go
mm-hmm.
and then has to
kill the half.
Yeah.
Half
oh.
Yeah.
So.
Half-hand.
Good, cool stuff coming up for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Exciting. Oh, the third book is so great.
Coming up, we're going to do a Conan versus Conan podcast where we watch the old. Conan movies and then
watch Conan O'Brien.
The new Conan, the Barbarian movie with Jason, is it Momoa?
Momoa,
who is our Khal Drogo. And we know there's Conan novels.
There's Conan, yeah.
Conan
I mean, they were, all the original Conan stories were published, like, in those periodicals.
Yeah, in serials. They were
like, amazing
yeah.
stories and all that kind of
like
stuff.
Pulp serials, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they weren't necessarily written as novels, but, like, in the 70s, they were all... compiled into a series of novels where an author named L. Sprague de Camp edited them all and in some places wrote extra Conan story bridges. So he took like all the original Conan stories and made a chronology for them all and bridged them all. So I read those like there's like 12 or 14 Conan books when I was in high school and it's hard to tell like I mean I guess at the time, I wasn't paying attention or I didn't care which was written by Robert E. Howard and which was written by L. Sprague de Camp. But I have since then read, you know, comments from purists who denounce that whole series of books because it's, you know, watered down or not the pure original stories. And it's all been changed and some of L. Sprague de Camp's characterization of Conan is maybe not what it should have been. You know, which is interesting, you know, in... in light of the fact that our podcast is kind of all about analyzing and criticizing and adaptation. So I'll get real boring and talk about that.
I don't know if we can make that boring when we're talking about Conan the Barbarian.
That's right.
You'll be like the first the half, and then we'll talk about the good. No, just kidding.
There's a movie that came out not too long ago that's about Robert E. Howard, the author of the Conan books, starring Vincent D'Onofrio.
What's it called?
It's called
the movie about the guy that wrote Conan.
It's on Netflix. Check it out.
D'Onofrio is brilliant. I mean, everything he's ever been in, I've enjoyed. Like, if you can play a weird bug thing in Men in Black and then go to the cell where you're playing.
Put on the Edgar suit.
Yeah. I mean, the cell, like, whatever that movie is, but he is amazing in that movie. He is brilliant in that movie. I will stand by that.
Okay. Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio, because I just watched a movie recently with him in it that I had seen when I was in high school, and I was like, oh yeah, this was a good one, and then I watched it again, and I was like, what? Imposter? I don't know, it's got Gary Sinise and Mekhi Phifer. But Vincent D'Onofrio is kind of the main antagonist, and yeah, he's good. Like
so
I watch him. Like I hate CSI,
or
Law and Order. That's
special,
what it is. Law and Order.
Criminal Intent.
I hate that show, but he's great, man.
I hate that show.
Oh, yeah. He's got a good thing going there, but it's still the whole impractical thing of he'll fake you out into admitting your crime.
Speaking of actors that are awesome, I was watching, I didn't watch the whole thing, I caught it at the end of it, but I was watching the movie Troy the other day. Sean Bean does not die.
What?
Oh.
He has narration at the end of the movie, even, where it's like,
good for
whoa,
sure.
This happened. And he does the narration, but like you see him and he's got the short hair and he doesn't die.
We're going to have to look up just about every, that's what we're gonna have to do for a podcast one time. We'll just watch every movie that
many
we can
deaths
think
of Sean Bean.
Yeah, and then see like tally how many times he dies.
That's a good one.
Or just put together all of his death scenes. Somebody can do that for us
on
and
YouTube.
Post it on darkwingsdarkwords.com, please.
Or on the Facebook page.
The many deaths of Bean.
The many deaths of Bean. Sean Bean, not Mr. Bean. Just
that
in case.
Important distinction. The many foibles of Mr. Bean. We don't need to see.
Maybe Sean Bean should take over the role of Mr. Bean.
That be a very dark chapter.
On that note.
So, thanks for sticking with us beyond the end of season one. We've got plenty more to talk about. You know, we've got books and internet reports and casting tidbits and whatever we come up with to keep you well entertained till spring 2012 rolls around. So thanks for listening and
tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Oh, nice. Oh, what? I don't know. Darkwingsdarkwords.com.
The Facebook page, the new Facebook page.
Yeah, find
and
us on Facebook.
Something. We'll get on Google Plus here pretty soon, probably. We just set up a Facebook page just in time for Google to bury it.
Somebody invite us to Google Plus.
I got invited. I'll let you guys in this room.
Dark Wings, Dork Words, a Game of Thrones podcast. Conceived by Chuck Davis. Produced by Boombox Productions. Recorded on July 10, 2011 in Omaha, Nebraska. Featuring Chuck Davis, Brendan J.D. Riley, Eric Salonis, and Molly Welsh. Stay tuned for our next podcast. It will focus on cowboys and aliens. Check us out on the web at darkwingsdorkwords.com or search on Facebook for Dark Wings Dork Words. And like us.